Welcome on back, folks, to ESPN West Palm today. As always, I'm your host, Mike Grizzo, and joining me now is a very special guest, Dr. Patrick Connors, who is an orthopedic surgeon specializing in knee and hip replacement at HSS Florida. It's the West Palm Beach location of New York's top-rated hospital for special surgery. He specializes in minimally invasive complex and revision hip and knee replacements, often performing surgeries with robotic technology. Dr. Connors is joining us today to discuss advances in joint replacement surgery. Doc, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. Appreciate it, Mike. Excited to be on.
So first question, you know, Doc, I understand a lot has changed in joint replacement surgery in terms of technique and technology over the past 5 to 10 years. What would you say are the most noteworthy advances in knee and hip replacements?
That's an awesome question. I think I think there's a lot of ways you could go with this, and there's a lot of things that we've changed. I think people get really excited in talking about computer assisted technology and robotics. We've made a lot of improvements in the design of our materials, so our implants probably last a little bit longer than they used to. The way we do the operation, so something like it's called the direct anterior approach, but making an incision in the front of the hip for a hip replacement has been really popular. But I think kind of the biggest thing in the last 5 or 10 years, I would say, is really the proliferation of outpatient joint replacements. So I think, when you hear, your mom and dad or grandma and grandpa who had a hip replacement 20 years ago, they were doing, they'd be in the hospital for 5 days. They wouldn't be moving very much. They'd go to rehab for a week or two afterwards, and it was kind of a big deal. And that's really changed. I think, we started doing this before COVID, but COVID really hit the accelerator for this. But now I would say more than 70% of my patients go home the same day, meaning that the recovery after a hip or a knee replacement is significantly faster. And oftentimes, too, we're not even doing this in the hospital. We've been able to switch to an outpatient surgery center, which has been really beneficial. And the data on this is really promising. And so we find that our patients actually do better and have a better outcome when they go home. And so it's something we've been really excited about.
Dr. Patrick Connors, an orthopedic surgeon specializing in knee and hip replacement at HSS Florida, is our guest on ESPN West Palm today. Dr. Connors is joining us today to discuss advances in joint replacement surgery. Now, Doc, I also understand that the use of surgical and robot and computer navigation is enhancing your accuracy when it comes to these replacements. Can you explain to the audience how those work?
Yeah, no, that's another awesome question. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there on robotics, and it's very confusing, and I think it confuses a lot of orthopedic surgeons too. So I think it's really important to be clear about what robotics can do and what robotics can't do. Robotics is, you can essentially think of it like a fancy computer that's in the operating room with us. And all it does is it creates a three-dimensional model of either your hip or your knee. And this allows the surgeon to plan where they're going to put the implants, either the hip or the knee replacement, and then be incredibly accurate and precise when they're putting those in. And so it's really, I'd say it's a powerful tool. It's not it doesn't replace the surgeon. Obviously the surgeon is still doing the operation, and it doesn't replace kind of experience and technique, but it can allow us to be much more precise. And it's a really exciting and new opportunity we've had probably over the last, 10 years or so. I think there's, unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation about what the robot offers. And it's important to clarify that with a robot, things are not, it's a more accurate tool, but it doesn't really change the long-term outcomes. The data hasn't proven that yet. We're certainly working towards that, and we think that that's going to be the case. But, the surgery itself is really the same length. Your incision may be a little bit longer when you have a robotic surgery. It doesn't really reduce your pain after surgery, and it doesn't really improve the long-term outcomes or the function after your hip or knee replacement. So it's an exciting technology and something that we think is going to be really the future of hip and knee replacements. But we still have a lot of work to do to prove it.
Now, Doc, you mentioned the incisions. These days, joint replacement is often performed in a less invasive manner with smaller incisions, 3 or 4 inches, as opposed to the 12 inches or so. Does the smaller incision kind of help patients in terms of recovery? And is that kind of where things are going, a 3 to 4 incision opposed to a 12? I know you just said you kind of have bigger incisions, and sometimes it may vary but most often it's 3 to 4 inches nowadays, right?
Yeah, exactly. So for the hip side, you know, you kind of have to clarify for hip and knee replacements are a little bit different in this regard. For hip replacements, with the vast majority of people doing the anterior approach, which is what I do, it's a 3 or 4 inch incision that's in the front of the hip. You can think of that really about the width of your palm. Is about the size of the incision that you'll have. Obviously, it depends on the size of the patient. So, smaller people have typically a little smaller incision, and bigger people have a little bigger incision. But the incision itself, I think because it's really the only thing that we see after the surgery, we kind of focus a lot on the size of the incision. But when we talk about minimally invasive, we're really talking more about what's going on underneath the incision. So for the anterior approach, it's really become a big boon and what a lot of people have transitioned to because not just the size of the incision, but because we're moving the muscles out of the way rather than cutting through muscle. And it really allows us to be accurate and put parts in the right spot and minimize complications after surgery. So for us, that's really been a big advantage and moving to the anterior approach and something that I do essentially for 100% of my patients when they have a hip replacement. On the knee side, unfortunately, it's there's a few things that you have to do when you're doing a knee replacement and you have to be able to see. So most knee replacements, unfortunately, you can't really do through a 3 or 4 inch incision. You have to do, something closer, probably to 8 to 12 inches, depending on the size of the patient and how muscular or how big they are. But kind of like I mentioned on the hip side, there's a renewed interest in some more minimally invasive techniques or quadricep sparing techniques that a lot of us have transitioned back to probably over the last 5 years or so, meaning that rather than cutting the quadriceps tendon, we actually either move the muscle out of the way or split the muscle. And that has shown to have some early advantages in terms of recovery. I think it's important that we know that, we tried these really small incisions kind of in like the mid-90s, late 90s. And we found that it just didn't really work that well. You couldn't see and people were having really preventable complications. So you want to incision big enough that is absolutely necessary to be able to do the operation in the way that's safe for you. But I really think when we talk about minimally invasive, we worry less about the incision and more about, how we're handling what's going on underneath the incision.
Doc, what would you say to someone who's kind of worried about the recovery process when it comes to, these procedures? I feel like a lot of times people have the fear that they're going to be holed up in the bed, not able to go to work and whatnot. I heard you say earlier that you send the patients home as soon as that same day some of the times as well. So what would you say to someone that maybe has the fear that this is going to have them hold up for a really long time?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it has changed a lot in the last 10 years or so. But when we think about hip replacements, hip and knee replacements are a little bit different in this regard too. When we think about hip replacements, surgery itself takes about an hour and, you're up walking within, an hour or so after surgery, usually with a walker. The recovery after a hip replacement is relatively straightforward. You're up walking right away. Patients will typically use a cane or a walker for about a week or two. It takes about 2 weeks for the incision to heal. And then, you're kind of off doing your thing after that. Really the best therapy after a hip replacement is just getting up and walking. And so by about 6 weeks, patients are doing most of the things that they want to be doing. By 3 months, they really have no restrictions from my end. And for the most part, oftentimes don't even come back and see me after that 3 month visit because they're back doing what they want to be doing. Certainly from a golf perspective, patients are chipping and putting usually around somewhere between 2 to 4 weeks. I let them take some swings with short irons around 6 weeks or so, and then wait until that 3 months to kind of hit the course full bore and play around. But they're getting back to it pretty quickly.
Doctor.
From a knee replacement, go ahead.
No, keep going. Yep.
From a knee replacement standpoint, it's a little bit different. I think, the recovery after a knee replacement is tough, and I think anyone who tells you otherwise is probably not being fully transparent with you. I tell my patients, and any of my patients who are listening will tell you, I tell them, you're not going to like me and you're not going to like my mother for about 4 to 6 weeks after surgery, because it does hurt. You know, there's lots of different things that we do around the time of surgery to minimize that, but it certainly is sore. And you really have to work hard to get your motion back after surgery, because that really, you know, that's really been shown to improve your outcomes, is being able to get your full motion back. There are some neat technologies that we have. There's something that I was involved with during my training in Southern California that is called iovera. It's just a brand name, but it's you essentially freeze the nerves around the knee. And there's some really promising early data that suggests that patients for about the first 6 months after surgery have significantly less pain and are significantly happier than patients who don't have this. So, you know, it was something that I was able to offer my patients in California, and something I'm really excited to be able to offer my patients here as well. And, you know, a new technology that I think is really, you know, helping us improve the speed of recovery after a knee replacement.
Dr. Patrick Connors, an orthopedic surgeon specializing in knee and hip replacement at HSS Florida, is our guest here on ESPN West Palm today. And Dr. Connors is joining us to discuss advances in joint replacement surgery. Doc Connors, also a big, big time Notre Dame fan and a big Boston sports fan. We'll touch on that in just a second. Once again, for more information, too, that you could go to hss.edu/Florida. That is hss.edu/Florida. All right, Doc, two more doctor questions here before we get into our sports. Now, the outpatient thing, I feel like it is something everyone wants to do, right? The same day where you could actually go home. Who, in your eyes, who's a candidate for an outpatient after joint replacement? And how do you think that how do you think that this should work when someone wants to immediately leave that same day?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's interesting is that it's really shifted. You know, we used to be really worried about who was a candidate and who was not a candidate. And now we're really more thinking about who needs to stay in the hospital rather than who can go home same day. I think, you know, for patients who, you know, would qualify, really, you just have to be relatively mobile. You have to be up walking before surgery. Obviously, if you're not, you know, if you're not able to walk before your operation, then, you know, you know, we need to have, you know, spend a little more time and recover a little bit more. But, you know, the vast majority of our patients are up walking and doing things, even though they're having a little bit of pain that's prompting them to have the surgery. You obviously have to be relatively healthy, so no major medical conditions, things like heart, lungs, kidneys, liver disease, that would need you to stay in the hospital for monitoring. But the biggest thing is support at home after surgery. You know, hip and knee replacements are a team sport, and you really can't go it alone. And so you need to have a family member. You need to have support at home that's going to be with you for the first couple of days after surgery and can kind of help take care of you and make sure that, you know, nothing bad is going on, you know, right around the time of surgery. And then you're not going to feel like doing too much for yourself, you know, cooking, cleaning, things like that for about the first 2 weeks. So as long as you can have somebody at home and you're relatively healthy, you know, an outpatient hip and knee replacement, whether that's at the surgery center or whether that's at the hospital, you know, makes a lot of sense. And the data is pretty strong in supporting that. So it's really exciting for patients and you know, they really enjoy it. Not having to have to spend a night in the hospital is really nice. Being in your own bed is great.
Dr. Patrick Connors, an orthopedic surgeon specializing in knee and hip replacement at HSS Florida, is our guest. Now, Doc, why should people consider your practice in HSS Florida when choosing an orthopedic surgeon and hospital for joint and hip replacement surgery?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you're looking at a surgeon, I think there's really, you know, kind of three things that I think about. I think, you know, there's a few things that you want to check out. You want to make sure that they're fellowship trained in hip and knee replacements. Just means that they've done an extra year of training specifically after their orthopedic surgery residency to do hip and knee replacements full time. You know, these are the guys that you know, take care of the problems when hip and knee replacements go wrong. And I think, you know, you'd be well served to you know, have a fellowship trained hip and knee replacement surgeon take care of you. You want to find somebody too who, you know, is more than just a one trick pony. I think, you know, it's very easy to do just one thing, and that's great. And, you know, there's lots of surgeons that can do that, but I think you want to make sure that you're finding a surgeon that can, you know, tailor their treatment to you. You know, we talked about robotics, and robotics are really hot and emerging technology right now, but you don't want to find a surgeon who just does robotics and you know, really can't do anything else. You want to find a surgeon who can offer you robotics if if that's what you need, but also can do the operation if you don't need robotics, and really tailor the operation to what your needs are as a patient. But I think most importantly, you just got to find someone you trust. Find someone you trust that is going to take care of you and be available to you. My patients are really able to get a hold of me 24/7. And they have my contact info and I'm always available and on call for them. So but find someone that you trust and someone that can take care of you, because, things do happen. There are bumps in the road and you want to make sure that there's somebody there with you that's going to support you through that process. From a hospital standpoint, I think HSS is really unparalleled in the market. It's pretty incredible to have a tertiary referral center and a tertiary academic center, here in West Palm. HSS is kind of world renowned for hip and knee replacements. They're, some of the early pioneers in the designs of total hip and total knee replacements. And, it's pretty incredible to have a center of excellence like HSS down here in West Palm and be able to offer that quality care. Like I talked about earlier, I think, hip and knee replacements are really not an individual effort. It's really a team sport. And that happens on our side as well. I'm very much less a surgeon when it comes to, managing our team and much more of a quarterback or a head coach, where I'm really just directing the team around me. So things like nurses and therapists and PAs all the way up from our front desk staff to me are really on the same page about, the quality of care that we provide and having the resources to get you where you need to be. So it's a really exciting place I certainly wouldn't have chosen anywhere else, because I really think that HSS offers the full gamut of care that my patients expect and demand. If it were my knee, if it were my mom's knee, if it were my dad's knee, I would certainly have them see an HSS surgeon.
Folks, HSS Florida, where joint and replacement, if you need joint and replacement surgery, HSS Florida is your place to be. And hss.edu/Florida is where you go for more information. Once again, if you're struggling with hip, knee, joint, you need joint replacement surgery, hss.edu/Florida is where you're going to go. And Dr. Patrick Connors is one of many wonderful doctors you could trust on the orthopedic surgeon side. But appreciate Dr. Connors joining us today. Now, Doc, I did want to switch over to my forte, and that is sports. Now, partner, I'm an Ohio State guy, grew up in Northeast Ohio, went to Ohio State. Now, I apologize for the national championship win last year, but I feel like Notre Dame football is in a really good spot right now. Now, this year, the two losses early on in the season, not ideal, but at the same time, Notre Dame is Notre Dame. If they have two losses, Doc, they're getting into the college football playoffs. So I'm assuming where your head is right now with Notre Dame football is to win every single game by any means necessary, be 10-2 at the end of the year, and leave the decision in the hands of the committee. Am I right on this?
I think that's what we need. They look pretty good. They gave Arkansas a run for their money and beat them up pretty good. I feel bad for Sam Pittman that he had to he lost his job over us. Giving them the business. But I think that's the plan. I think that's what we have to do. Marcus Freeman is just an awesome coach, and I think he's the perfect fit for us, in kind of the NIL era of college football. And unfortunately nobody's doing it better than Ohio State right now, but I think if we can run the table, I think two losses, and hopefully Miami and Texas A&M kind of continue their tear and make us look a little bit better. And I think we can sneak our way in, and I certainly wouldn't want to face us, but still a lot of season left.
Close losses too, Doc. That's the important part. Like, obviously Miami, that was a 3-point game. And then good golly, if Tyler, Buckner, the fifth year quarterback, is able to put the damn snap down, that game's probably
right,
going
exactly
to overtime. So, Doc, do you go to games? Do you go to a lot of games? Have you been to games recently at Old Touchdown Jesus?
I do. Yeah, I was just down. My little brother is a junior there, and so he flew down, and we went to the Miami game, and that was a really awesome experience. That was a lot of fun. Try to make it back as much as I can, back up to South Bend, and a lot of good memories up there.
Now, Doc, you mentioned you're a Northeastern guy. One of my favorite uncles on the planet, my Uncle Patrick, he's from Reading, Massachusetts. Huge Boston Red Sox and Boston sports fans partner. So I know all about the Boston sport fan. I know you got to be excited for a little Red Sox and Yankees coming up in that first round of the playoffs. It's a winner-go-home playoff series, Doc. The good news is the Red Sox were able to save Crochet. Crochet's on 5 days rest. They're going to have their top starters for this three-game series coming up. Obviously, it's best 2 out of 3. What's your thought process with your Red Sox as they enter in the rivalry in the first round of the playoffs with the Red Sox and the Yankees?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, the Yanks are always good. You know, they've got the talent. I think we're young and plucky, and we're hot right now. You know, I think I think we've got that on our side, and you know, we'll see what happens. Luckily for us, I think this is a little bit of we're probably a year or two early from where we plan to be. You know, certainly when we got rid of Devers, I don't think anyone expected us to be here, but you know, I think we're on a little bit of borrowed time, and at least can. See if we can make some noise and it'd always be nice to beat the Yanks. So
now it was a big win for the Patriots against the Panthers. Well, 42-13, completely dismantling the Carolina Panthers. Do you have thoughts on Drake May? It looks, Drake May, 2 good starts in a row, over 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, going off post Tom Brady, Doc, that's a hard act to follow. So are you optimistic about your Patriots with the head coach Mike Vrabel and first-round draft quarterback Drake May?
I think I speak for all Pats fans when I say that we are incredibly excited about Drake May. I think he looks awesome. Vrabel is the right guy. I'm very glad we got him. And, unfortunately, Mayo didn't work out, but Vrabel, he just looks like the guy. He's been a winner everywhere he's gone. And May looks pretty darn good. The Panthers are not the biggest test, but they're building the lines back. When you have a quarterback, it makes everything look a lot better. Remains to be seen, lost some winnable games. Mm-hmm. But man, they look good. So we'll see. We'll see.
And 2-2 on the schedule, Doc's not bad at this point.
Not at all. I think we're,
go ahead.
Where they expected to be versus where they are now, I'm very happy with 2-2. So, I think there was some concern that they were going to be, kind of like they were last year. But May has definitely taken that step forward, and it's exciting. We'll see.
So as of September 29th, right now when this interview was recorded, Doc, is Notre Dame making the college football playoff this year?
Oh, man.
Putting you on the spot. I call it the lasso of truth. You cannot lie to me. The lasso of truth. You got to be honest with me.
Oh, man. I think if Florida and A&M went out, they're in. I think if A&M loses a couple, I think they're going to be, I think even with 10 wins, they might be on the outside looking in. But I think they get to 10-2, and I think they do it. I think they sneak in probably at that 12 spot would be my guess.
That's Dr. Patrick Connors, folks, an orthopedic surgeon specializing in knee and hip replacement at HSS Florida. You can get more information at hss.edu/Florida. That is hss.edu/Florida. Diehard Notre Dame fan, big-time Boston sports fan. Dr. Connors, appreciate you joining us here on ESPN West Palm today. Best of luck to all your teams and your Notre Dame as we get through the season, and we'll talk to you next time, okay?
Awesome. Sounds great. Thanks so much, Mike.
That was Dr. Patrick Connors, once again, orthopedic surgeon specializing in knee and hip replacement at HSS Florida. When we return, we will have plenty more content for you on ESPN West Palm today.